and Business Update conference call. Michele Vitale, Head of Investor Relations, will introduce the event.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the fourth quarter result and business update presentation. As usual, together with our CEO, here we have our CFO, Mr. Andrea Balzarini, who will provide you with an update of our fourth quarter 2018 operating and financial performance. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. Now you can take note of our disclaimer policy that you should now see on slide 2. Let me highlight that the reported data refer to the financial statement at December 31st. Let me guide you through the presentation by starting with slide 3, where you can see that INWIT keeps following its growth path. In terms of result, as you can see in this quick overview, this fourth quarter 18 finds us on track on both the operating and financial spheres. The tenancy ratio increased up to 1.9 times. Likewise, revenue grew by 6% compared to 2017, fully aligned with our mid-single-digit target. The EBITDA shows another positive step up, with a 12% growth compared to 2017, again aligned with our low-teens growth target. Finally, recurring free cash flow reached €158 million in the year, confirming a solid growth trend of cash generation. Now I leave the floor to Mr. Giovanni Ferigo, who will guide you through the main highlights of our 2018 result and business update. As usual, a Q&A session will follow the result presentation. You can book it by pressing star 0. Let me remind you that, in order to let anyone take part of the Q&A session, only one question per each person is allowed. Giovanni, over to you.
Thank you, Michele. It's a pleasure to be here to talk about our company results. The year recorded an increase in profitability performance, in line with our business development plan 15-18. Over the year, the company has deeply changed, both from the organizational and functional viewpoint. The forthcoming deployment of 5G technology is accelerating the development of the access network, enlarging and enriching the scope of the TowerCos. In this regard, INWIT has been a first mover in the market, pointing to innovation through the installation of fiber backhauling links, small cell, and thus micro coverage, and initial tests to fit towers with new advanced smart city services, remote sensing, localization, monitoring, and so on. We do not rule out that, in the near future, the towers will further enlarge their business scope by sharing their MNO capex, also on the active part of the infrastructures and on the edge computing multi-access data center. In order to achieve all of the above, we had to increase personnel and set up specific ad hoc structures for each business line. INWIT is a pioneer in innovation and attach great importance to the market technology research. But let's now go through the major result achieved. As already mentioned by Michele, by simply looking at these first four indicators, we may see that the year just ended show a highly positive trend. Namely, EBITDA slightly exceeded market expectation and tenancy ratio is up 1.9 as a result of site and tenants linear increase. Let's now take a closer look at the figure shown in the balance sheet. I understand that you would like us to talk about the recent news, but we now need to focus our fourth quarter results and the industrial plan. Let me start from slide 5, dedicated to the revenue trend, another mid-single-digit growth. As you can see in the slide, our 18 total revenues account for €378 million, and we can split into three main clusters. Revenues from master service agreement with TIM related to the state inherited through the IPO. 1% up the from full year 2017 due to inflation increase is laid down in the contract. Revenues from other operators and others totaled 99 million euros in this year. They derived mainly from all tenants, our MNO customer and fixed wireless access operators. Through the year, INWIT has been affected by some major market events, such as the Wind 3 merger, which has led to a reorganization of the tower park, merger of two independent separate networks in one single integrated network, and the decommissioning of wind tenants from INWIT. This event has been partially compensated by the entry of Iliad, following a framework agreement undersigned a few days ago. We actually expect a further expansion of the business. Since 2018, we have also been accruing revenues from the Portuguese experience as industrial partner in managing the asset. We started monetizing our ability in managing Tower Cos abroad too. Revenues, the third part, revenues from the new sites and new services amounted to 18.5 million euros, showing a significant growth over the years without taking into account exceptional activities. This result, as usual, derives from new sites built and new business opportunity, such as small cells or backhauling. Each technological shift requires some adjustments in order to be brought up to speed and some fine-tuning in the timing for the new technology to substitute the preceding wave. A case in point is small cell. Thanks to the recent developments, as from this year, our small cell can support more than one tenant, allowing for cost optimization. The last quarter thus registered just a small revenue increase without the usual performance peak. Summarizing, total revenues grew by 21 million euros from last year, that is a 6% increase. Going to slide 6, you can find an overview of the structure for our operating expenses. The total OPEX amount to 163 million euros, and its trend can be better explained by breaking down the total amount in three components. The most important is ground lease costs. Its trend show a constant decrease ever since the IPO. The result have been achieved by reducing the ground lease cost through renegotiation and land acquisition, despite the increasing cost related to the handling of new built sites and small cells. Other operating expenses have a typical up and down trajectory. This item collects the startup of new business, small cell DAS, backhauling, and other various costs. The third component is personnel cost. This component has significantly increased as a result of personnel expansion, up 20% year over year. Consequently, the OPEX amount is a bit lower than the last year. If, on the one hand, the costs are pushed down by the renegotiation, on the other, they are driven by the cost of the new sites and the new business. Moving to slide 7, let me illustrate the main industrial KPIs that explain our performance. First, we can focalize on revenues on the left. The average revenues per site confirm a growing trend, reaching a 5% growth year over year, up 19% since the IPO. The point of presence, other than TIM, grew mainly thanks to the increase of the fixed wireless access component. We estimate a stable growth driven by the new related services and the growth of the new player such as Linkem, Tiscali, Eolo, other wireless local loop operators, Open Fiber, public administration, IoT operator, and so on. At the end, the tenancy ratio reached 1.9 times, broadly in line with our full year target. On the right, there is a detailed view of the cost saving, showing the results achieved on renegotiation and land acquisition, and their impact on lease cost per site. We have reduced our average lease cost per site below 11,700 euros. Notwithstanding the increasing renegotiation and land acquisition and remote units maintenance costs. Since 2015, we have acquired about 750 plots of land, and we have renegotiated more than 4,000 plots. Now, I'd like to recap our achievements in the new business deployment and compare them with the industrial targets of the previous plan. As you can see, in slide number 8, we can claim an impressive growth in all three the business line. We almost doubled the new size built in a year. We doubled the amount of the small cell and DAS deployed, and we multiplied by 4 times the amount of backhauling links. In term of new sites, we deployed 200 sites over 1 year period, reaching 500 built sites by the end of 2018. The small cell KPI reflects our change in deployment strategy, focused on building multi-tenant 5G-ready small cell instead of the current 4G monotenant ones. Consequently, the major contribution derives from DAS multi-tenant technology. At the end, we reached 2,400, including small cell and DAS, well within the range of the 2,000 or 3,000. On backhauling, too, we have reached our target, 600 active connections that allows us to offer an extra value to our customers. Now, going to slide 9, before leaving the floor to the financial aspect of our full year 18 results presentation, when it comes to our strong financial figures, we must stress that, first, we delivered a robust growth, almost 6% since carve out. However, such a result should not be taken for granted. INWIT keeps and on demonstrating it can deliver a mid-single-digit growth, steadily driven by our main drivers. Second, the EBITDA growth is assessed at more than 14% since carve-out. It's driven by the lease costs reduction and the new business margin. Third, the recurring free cash flow has grown by 28.7% since carve-out, taking into account taxes, stable at 28% of the EBIT, financial expenditures, about 1% of gross debts, and recurring capex, about 2% of the revenues. The consequences lead us to define a new strategy plan that I will explain to you in a few minutes. Now it's time to leave the floor to Andrea for the financial aspect. Andrea, please.
Thank you very much, Giovanni. Given that I'm the one which stands in between you and the plan, I will try and be quick. To begin with, let me review the reported results. Revenue stand at 378.5 million euros and with OPEX at 163 million, means a reported EBITDA of 215.4 million euros. Net income, 140.8 million euros. And our investments in the year amounted to 61.8 million. Regarding cash flow, the solid performance in EBITDA drove the recurring free cash flow to reach 158.3 million, 24% more than last year. Analyzing this data more in detail, it is worth highlighting our solid top-line performance with a revenue increase at 6.1% year-on-year. The OPEX decrease at almost 1%, driven by ground lease costs at 3%, a remarkable EBITDA increase of 12.2% year-on-year. Our reported net income for the period reached 140.8 million. That's an 11% growth compared to 2017. Moving to slide 12, as you can see, our EBITDA kept growing constantly. We have moved up from 144 million euros at the end of 2015 to the current 250, which means plus 49% since the IPO and plus 12% year on year. EBITDA margin increased from 44% at the end of 2015 to the current 57%. The explanation is easy. Given that our cost structure mainly consists of fixed costs, revenues from new tenants directly become EBITDA, therefore allowing us to increase margins. To better understand these achievements, let me highlight how strongly correlated our reported EBITDA margin and our tenancy ratio are, as shown in the ratio growth during our equity story from 1.6 to 1.9 today. These achievements are due to our strong commercial effort in both our traditional and new business. This effort is visible in our investments, which increased from 55 million at the end of 2017 to 62 at the end of last year, with 94% of the CapEx dedicated to new business development. In this regard, it's important to underline that the unitary CapEx are lower, following the lower cost of technology and a different mix in our source of investments. Moreover, we are now ready to strengthen investments on multi-tenant small cell, which this year will be available. Finally, we can add. Looking forward, considering our plan and MNO's willingness to roll out the new 5G networks, I'm sure we will continue on our investment growth path. In terms of recurring free cash flow, in all 2018, we reached 158 million, plus 24% year on year. It has to be noted, however, that such comparison also benefits of some extra taxes paid in 2017. Moving to slide 13, you can see the reported net income totaling 140.8 million and showing an 11% year-on-year increase. This increase in net income stems from a 6% increase in revenues and 12% in EBITDA. Full-year EBITDA margin stood at class-leading 57% and EBIT margin achieved a remarkable 53%. Concerning taxes and interest charges, as the slide shows, P&L taxes in the full period totaled 55.5 million euros, with an implicit tax rate of 28%, and interest charges just totaled 4 million. Slide 14, you can see cash flow at the end of December last year. The CapEx rollout is in line with our investment plan. In the year, we invested 62 million euros, mainly dedicated to our expansion activities, such as land acquisition, new sites, backhauling, and small cells deployment. The largest share has been dedicated to land acquisition, while on small cells, part of the effort has been postponed to 2019, as I've mentioned before. In terms of cash taxes, we paid 56 million euros. Financial expenses is just above 1% since our gross debt stands at 170 million. Thus, we delivered a positive cash flow to equity amounting to 113.4 million. Equivalent to 47% growth year on year. We achieved a recurring free cash flow of roughly 158.3 million euros, almost 24% more than a year ago, as already noted, mainly driven by higher EBITDA. However, We have to keep in mind that this overperformance is also due to a working capital component, more than positive for roughly 18 million, 1/8, which is non-recurring in nature and will be probably absorbed this year. Finally, a 0.211 euro per share dividend has been proposed for approval by the shareholders' meeting, representing a payout ratio of approximately 90%. In slide 15, which is the last one for me, we provide with an overview of our balance sheet at December 31st. At the end of the year, the net financial position amounted to 48 million euros, leading to a net debt to EBITDA ratio in the area of 0.2 times, leaving our financial flexibility almost intact. Lastly, despite the generous dividend distribution in May, the fully distributable reserves stand at 828 million euros at the end of the year, corresponding to approximately 1.4 euros per share. Now, the floor is back to Giovanni for a presentation of the new three-year plan.
Thank you, Andrea. Okay. Let's look at the future by beginning with some important consideration about 5G deployment. On slide 17, you can see our vision on how the evolution of technology and adjacent market will impact our role. It will bring a new set of contracts, some for the antennas upgrade and some for new kind of customers. The 5G antenna will become bigger and heavier compared to 4G ones, thus requiring an extra effort to adapt the tower to sustain this type of load and imply an extra fee for our tenants. Given the large dimension, sometimes in terms of physical space in the mast, it will become an issue to host a new tenant. New customers are the new subjects that 5G will enable to offer new services. For instance, fixed wireless access who can speed up the network, IoT providers for new value-added services, smart metering city hub operated by municipalities, and so on. Together with the new contracts, 5G will permit us to upgrade our towers and sell to our customers new services. We have already started with the update of the total radio access network towards a fiber backhaul in order to reduce latency and increase the throughput. This will be crucial in a 5G world. Then, digital sensor equipment on towers can provide enriched services like proactive monitoring of climate and power conditions, geolocalization and so on, as well as micro data center at the base of the cellular towers can reduce latency and increase the bandwidth, allowing 5G to offer its ambitious performance targets. Slide in the this transformation journey implies a very high level of densification pushed by the growth of data consumption. As we can see in the frame on slide 18, data consumption is estimated to grow by 5 times in the next 6 years, and also the number of IoT connected devices will grow in a disruptive way, driven by the multitude of new applications that 5G technology offers. The connected object will multiply and the smartphone speed will go up to 20 gigabit per second. Turning on radio coverage, there will be a mix between macro and micro coverage, concentrating mainly in high-density urban area, reducing the distance between the various sources of connection. Moving to slide 19, the continuous market challenges lead to a sector evolution. The MNOs haven't enough resources to invest in additional capex, so they increasingly prefer to entrust the development of the tower cost. In the picture, the red line refers to assets owned by the towercos, while the blue one are managed by the MNOs. In phase zero, until a few months ago, tower operators were only focused on leasing the physical spaces of its towers as a pure passive infrastructure operator. The first step we made, phase one, was directed to also include backhauling, thus retaining customers for many years and offering an additional service source of new revenues. The next step, phase two, could be to offer directly the sharing of active components of the network, such as 5G antennas. This could offer the twofold advantage of reducing the space used on the tower and hosting a larger number of tenants, besides offering the possibility of further increasing revenues with a new business line and improving customer retention. Finally, at the last step, a series of new services co-located on a tower or next to it can be developed. I'm referring to all equipment which leverage and geolocalization, such as mobile edge computer, or which can improve the final quality of the service. Finally, on slide 20, we can recap our strategy in three main industrial targets in order to let grow our organic business. Strengthened by the success of these 3 years of continuous strong growth, we have chosen to give ourselves ambitious goals for the next 3 years. 13,000 new tenants of contracts, considering both MNO traditional and fixed wireless access IoT, as well as 5G antenna upgrades. 10,000 points of presence among new sites and small cell and DAS. 2,500 new elements, namely links, full IP for backhauling network and the new business line, tower data center and sensor network. In this last slide, we can summarize our financial goals. The new plan also takes into account the new business area which still need to be fully developed, while keeping the risk profile low and the leveraging on the macro-sized business. This translates in estimated generated wealth of roughly 200 million recurring free cash flow by 2021. The plan falls within a favorable context because of the role the telco infrastructure have to play within the national digital agenda, as shown in the robust investment program, 250-300 million of euros. Well, we are very excited by the opportunities that may arise out of the new network sharing partnership among TIM and Vodafone Italia. Yesterday, TIM and Vodafone announced a memorandum of understanding for active network sharing and an expansion of their existing passive sharing agreement, including also a possible combination on FinWit with Vodafone's Italian towers. This is something that we have encouraged several times. It's the next step in the infrastructure sharing between operators. In the recent past, I repeatedly expressed my firm belief that Vodafone towers in Italy could be the best option for the inorganic growth of INWIT, representing a relevant opportunity for consolidation and industrial development. It's a great pleasure to be able and tell you that the moment has now come. Of course, we are just at the beginning of the journey. A lot of work still needs to be done and many things need to be sorted out, but I see here the opportunity for both developing industrial synergies and building a new integrated network for two operators, which will make our investment much more profitable. This operation is laying the groundwork for a more visible and diversified business, thanks to long-term contracts with not only one, but two anchor tenants, while also offering the opportunity to optimize the financial level, something we have been chasing up and you have been waiting for so many years. The combination would create an Italian tower champion with about 22,000 sites. And following the integration, we see the potential to capture attractive consolidation opportunities outside our domestic market. Let me say, right from the start, that as of today, we cannot quantify the value proposition embedded in the transaction. It's too early to say, and this will be the outcome of the negotiation among the parties. But one thing is sure, there are a number of elements that could enhance INWIT's equity story. Indeed, if you look at the left-hand part of the slide, you may recognize INWIT's usual key pillars diagram. Each single element can get a boost as a result of this transaction. Namely, in terms of low risk and contract-based revenues, a huge leap forward could be made, as we could have two long-term MSA instead of one only. I'm not saying that this translates in twofold increase of our cash flow predictability, but INWIT shall be more robust and diversified. Moving on to our organic growth, our jewel in the crown, 7-year advantage are evident on three main fronts. In terms of new contracts, the upside is significant, as we would sharply increase the presence of Vodafone with 4G antennas and 5G development, something that otherwise would not happen in this order of magnitude. The announcement of the possible RAN sharing between TIM and Vodafone will allow INWIT to increase its presence in 5G development. This, in turn, could pave the way to a further upsurge of tenancy, a tenancy which today, with the development of 5G, would be significantly slowed down by the size of the new 5G antennas, which cannot host as many tenants as in the past. Sharing the antennas evidently means hosting a large number of antennas while using the same amount of space. Coming to costs and synergies, as you all know, this has been our mantra all along. The overlap of two tower portfolios may lead to a second wave of decommissioning, while the fifth one has been completed the last year. Such potential ground lease cost reduction derived from Vodafone and TIM that intend to extend the site sharing agreement from approximately 10,000 sites today, which represent about 45% of combined tower, to the whole of Italy. Even in terms of lease cost renegotiation, this could pave the way to a further improvement. One other point which is often neglected, but which is indeed of crucial importance, is the possibility of developing a new network while relying on two operators right from the start. Deployment of additional growth capex, given the combined company, could become the partner of reference of two prominent operators for development of new sites, Smallcell and Becalin. As of today, this competitive edge has preferred supply of TIM only, has already led to significant advantages. With both TIM and Vodafone, we can look with great optimism at the profitability of each site, small cell, DAS or Becalin, link that we will deploy. Personally, I also see the potential to invest also in active equipment, which would be the next wave of asset sharing between telecom operators. Finally, we can also mention an important financial advantage. For many years, we have been a rare breed within our sector, with a very low financial leverage, in an environment which would have allowed for a far more efficient capital structure. We always said we were waiting for the right industrial opportunity in order to join the pack from the financial leverage viewpoint. And this transaction would allow us to do it in the best way possible. The opportunity on the table is extremely attractive for INWIT. We will obviously keep you posted. Now it's time to work hard to examine and evaluate the various aspects of the transaction to the extent relevant for INWIT. I've shared with you all the information I could possibly share. Please understand this is the initial phase of a long and strong process. Let me just add, this is a transformational deal which will have a very positive impact for the future of our company.
Giovanni, thank you. We can now open the Q&A session where our CEO Giovanni Ferigo and our CFO Andrea Balzerini will answer your questions. Please remember that in order to let everyone have their say, one single question each is admitted. So, please.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by 1. To cancel reservation, dial star followed by 2. Thank you. First today's question comes from Mr. Simon Coles of Barclays. Mr. Coles, please.
Hi guys, Simon from Barclays. Thanks for taking the question. Just have a follow-up on the comments you made on active sharing just then. How prevalent do you think that could actually be on the 4G side? Because do you see this as a risk to the number of tenants, or is it going to be something where you use it to help in the decommissioning of overlapping sites process, or is it something that could only really be possible if you're rolling out new sites in new areas for both TIM and Vodafone in the future? Just trying to get some more colour on how big that opportunity could be for INWIT. Thank you.
The 4G layers now in each site there is the layer of antenna of TIM and the layer of antenna of Vodafone. The opportunity for us is to propose to the operator, to the MNOs, to substitute the two layers with the one layer. Because now it's possible in the market to have the passive for the 4G, because the 4G antenna are passive, to have the 4G multi-band, multi-operator antennas, and so to permit to free space, in the antenna, and proposing this optimization, we can ask some, we can upgrade our revenues in this term, because let me say there are some sites that are very densely occupied by antennas, and so one opportunity for us, for example, is this one, no? To substitute the 4G layers with only one circle of 4G multi-band and multi-operator antennas.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Next, please.
Next question comes from Mr. Eric Herbst of Credit Suisse. Mr. Herbst, please.
Yeah, thanks very much. I had a very quick question, basically, on leverage. I mean, you're highlighting that you could look to optimize your leverage post a potential deal. And I was just wondering, I mean, other mobile tower companies seem to be in the range of around 5x net debt to EBITDA. Is there any reason why you couldn't go there after a deal, or is there any reason why you would sort of be at slightly lower level than that? Thanks very much.
Uh,
Okay, as said previously, no, we waited the right opportunity in these years. Let me say, this operation could be the key to align the financial structure and increase the, our efficiency. Let me say, I believe that a leverage in the high end part of the fork of the bench of the sector would be the ideal let me say, target. Okay?
Sorry, what was that? In the high end of? Oh, sorry, I didn't really hear.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. The high end part of the fork of the bench.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Eric. Next one, please.
Next question comes from Mr. James Ratzers of New Street Research. Mr. Ratzer, please.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much, and congratulations on the MOU that you've signed. Question I was going to ask, I don't know if you're able to answer this, but it's around some of the kind of outcome from the deal, but I'm just trying to think through how your revenues might change as part of the deal. I mean, you highlight you can get more customers here by hosting additional Vodafone tenants. I think that, you know, seems a clear source of upside. How does that get offset, though, by the risk that presumably Telecom Italia and Vodafone will be now looking to reduce their fees per site as they move to shared tenancy? And actually, how much upside is there from additional tenants? You mentioned on the slide RAN sharing enables a further increase in tenancy. I mean, due to electromagnetic radiation limits in Italy, you know, if Telecom Italia and Vodafone do share, can you now go to having three tenants per all your urban sites? So it's been interesting to understand the kind of moving parts on revenues, in particular, you know, the upside from Vodafone offset against them trying to negotiate lower tenancy fees. Thank you.
Okay, I need to underline, let me say, a fact. We didn't sign any MOU with the two companies, so let me say, I can't only partially answer to your question. Let me say about the revenues. Okay, there is no reason for the, let me say, for the increase of them, because we are joining two companies. About the tenancy, let me say, we have to check the programs of the MNOs and to understand really what they want to do with the 5G deployment. Okay, so I don't know, three is a number, okay, very, very high, but we have to check all the program, but let me say this from tenant point of view and revenues, I'm surely that the impact will be positive.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. I mean, as a follow-up, can you give any scope? You mentioned the kind of decommission second wave. Have you been able to give any thoughts as to what demand there might be from the MNOs to decommission further towers and help save further costs?
Okay, it will be happen, sure, but let me say, we have to study the programs of the MNOs and really understand which are the programs and so on. And it's too early, sorry, but it will be happen. The decommission is embedded in this operation, but let me say the numbers are too early, okay?
Okay, thank you, that's helpful.
Thank you, James. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Mr. Giles Thorne of Jefferies. Mr. Thorne, please.
Hi there, thank you. Just on the question of decommissioning under the expanded passive sharing agreement, if I remember correctly, and I'm reading off the screen, so this should be correct, you decommissioned 1,400 sites in the original 7,100 A sites. Will there be a similar order of magnitude decommissioning opportunity in the expanded footprint? Thank you.
It's a very different issue because today the commissioning sites were rural, let me say, sites where the sites in the municipalities under the 35,000 inhabitants. Now this project will involve all the sites nationwide, and so let me say it's too early to answer to the question. I like to be the first to know this number, and no, now today it's really too early. Sorry.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Giles. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Mr. Andrea De Vita of Banca Akros. Mr. De Vita, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. So I understand that the deal will be completed by the end of this calendar year. I would like to understand whether for your business is there already a boost from Vodafone contract let's say, building and setting up their 5G base station already this year. So if there is a part and external to the deal, already in 2019, a positive impact on your revenues from Vodafone.
Andrea will answer this question.
Honestly, you might remember that in the press release we said that we don't expect impacts on 2019 from the transaction. And actually the only set of information that we are able to share about 2019 is the one which is embedded in the plan that Giovanni discussed, which doesn't obviously incorporate any impact from the integration with the towers of Vodafone. So this is what we can say on this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Next, please.
Last today's question comes from Mr. Fernando Cordero of Santander. Mr. Cordero, please.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I would like to know, in order to assess the decommissioning opportunity, and sorry for coming back to this issue, I would like to know what would be, in your view, the size of a 5G network in Italy. Just talking about on macro cells, you have stated that 20,000 is a number for 4G, and I would like to understand what would be the requirement of new towers, thinking of 5G, and just talking about macro cells.
Okay, let me say, we have to do some two different, let me say, considerations, okay. The first phase of 5G will be, let me say, concentrated in fixed wireless access services because, let me say, from the consumer point of view, this is the 5G new service that is available at the moment. You have to remember that at the moment the 5G is not standalone. Then finally, the 5G need the anchor of 4G in the same antennas. So, let me say, at the moment, for the macro coverage in the next 2-3 years, it will not so important the increase of number of macro sites. My vision is that the boost of the installation will be dedicated to the small cell or DAS 5G. Ready, okay. This is my let me say technical opinion.
So should we understand that the required number of macro sites will not prevent materializing the commissioning opportunity on the potential deal with Vodafone? No.
Okay. Yes, I repeat, underlined, the commissioning is embedded in this, let me say, project, but the quantity at the moment is impossible to me to define, but sure is embedded in the project, and we will do it. The magnitude, okay, in the next month when we will finish to analyze the project and the MNO's needs.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Many thanks for the answer.
Thank you, Fernando. You should all understand that we are in a very early stage, so it's impossible to go deeper in the analysis. But we are here to answer all the questions you may have. Please, next one.
Next question comes from Mr. Albert Prangier of Kemper. Mr. Prangier, please.
Thank you, gentlemen. Just as a matter of clarification, the way you the entire session is now going, it seems like there's already, let's say, a given transaction or the potential transaction. Just curious, are you already in discussion with Vodafone?
No. Today we are not in contact with Vodafone. Okay, we are waiting for the kickoff of the multi-part project. Okay.
Okay, and do you have any visibility on a timeline there?
Well, it's Andrea speaking. So far, the process has been led by TIM and Vodafone, starting from their technological needs and intention to enlarge the partnership. The partnership involves us in the sense that it gives us the opportunity to integrate the tower portfolio Vodafone. Since yesterday, we are an active player in this game, and the timeline is the one which has been provided, so we all intend to complete a deal by the end of the year.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Albert. Thank you, you all. This was the last question for this result presentation and business update. Thank you for joining us, for your interest on the conference call. As usual, feel free to call us for any additional question. Thank you again, and have a great evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.